Well, praise God. It's good to be back in nice warm Melbourne. It was very, very warm over there. The minimum overnight was 27. It was about 35 during most times with humidity about 90%. So it was very, very warm. But I really appreciate your prayers. It was a very full-on time there in Sri Lanka. We'd start at 9 o'clock in the morning, maybe go to 10 o'clock, then work through to maybe 2, 3 or even 4 o'clock in the morning, and then start again at 9 o'clock. So it was very, very busy time. But praise God for your prayers. Really appreciate your prayers over that time. And a couple of good little things happened. We did the graduation of the sewing. There's a sewing school there where people go there for vocational training, particularly some of the girls coming out of the children's home there because they don't have any family or people to get behind them. That they're going to, by law, they've got to leave the children's home at 18. But they won't have anywhere to live or to have a trade or whatever. So what they do is they go into the sewing school and they learn how to sew, which gives them a trade. And so that was a wonderful blessing. Just really felt on my heart when I was doing the graduation there just to do an altar call. I'd spoken to the pastor beforehand. I said, look, how do you feel about me doing a call? He goes, oh, no, it's not really appropriate for this occasion, but just prior to that, he leant over and said, look, it's, look, I think it's okay. Okay. Yeah. If you feel to do that. Anyway, I felt to do that. So, shared a little bit about the two famous sewers in the Bible, talked about Dorcas and the Apostle Paul, who was very famous with his sewing. And that was a blessing. And, then also talked, he was a tent maker for those who don't know what I'm talking about with that. And then just did a call, and it was great to see two of the students actually gave their hearts to the Lord then. In fact, asked them to raise their hands, and one of them just kept their hands up the whole time, both hands, like, and I was really, really blessed. And had a great morning on the Sunday morning. I spoke at a church when I was here about 12 months ago. I was invited to a regional pastors, the northern region of Colombo Pastors Pentecostal Fellowship, and had a time there. They got me to prophesy over each and every one of them, and the guy who was hosting the church went, prophesied and prayed over all his staff, and he'd been wanting me to speak, and so I ended up speaking there Sunday morning. We had an amazing time, incredible, really great church, several hundred people there, and had a great time. In the evening I spoke at another church, and just it was great to see what God's doing there. There was one lady who came, and she was all bent and twisted up, and she wanted prayer for her back, and I just said to the girl who was actually helping me with them, because I don't speak, this was Tamil, and I said, look, is she in pain now? And then you could just see, if you look in someone who's in a lot of pain, you look in their eyes, you can tell that they're in pain. And she was in a lot of pain. In fact, she had tears coming down her eyes. She was in so much pain, just the effort of getting up the front to get prayed for her. Anyway, prayed for her, and she's instantly, miraculously healed. And she's just smiling, and they're saying, you're still in pain, and she's jumping around, and I don't know how old this lady was. She would have been, I think she would have been over 70, but she's jumping around, and she's really going for it. So that was really exciting. So, again, appreciate your prayers, and it's great for us all to be a part of what is happening over there in Sri Lanka. Also looking forward to our anniversary next week. So make sure you're here. Make sure you're a grow group leader. Ring everyone. We want everybody here. We're going to have an awesome time. Pastor Barry Silverback, who, if you've ever wanted to meet a real apostle, he is a real apostle of the faith, and he'll be speaking at our 30th celebration. We're going to have an awesome day, and really encourage everyone to be there. So if you know there's someone who's not here this morning, make sure that they get there. There's some old friends that come along and get to catch up with some people you might not see in for a while. Maybe they've moved away or interstate, and a great time to catch up with some folk as well. But let's just pray before we open the Word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're an amazing God, an awesome God, Lord, that you love us so much. And Lord, what a joy and what a privilege it is, Lord, to be your children, Lord, to be in your kingdom. And Father, we know, Lord, what we have in you, Lord, is not just for ourselves. And Father, I pray that you continue to stir our hearts, Lord, that we might share you, Lord, share the life that we have in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we open our hearts to you now, Lord, as we open the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning, as we know our theme for the year is the invitation. And I want us to keep talking about that. As a church, we really want to really get more and more of that heart of us, that we will inviting people along and inviting them into the kingdom of God, that people might know the ways and the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Some of us, when it comes to sharing a faith, and some people may not be all that confident, but I want to talk to that this morning. There's the very famous preacher, D.L. Moody. Some woman came up to him and said, "Look, I don't like the way that that you're reaching out to people. I don't like the method. I don't like the way that you speak to people, the way that you talk to people about Christ. I don't like the way that you do that." And so D.L. Moody said, "Well, look, you know, look, yeah, well, look, I'm not perfect. I'm sure I could..." By the way, he's one of the best preachers that ever lived. He said, "Look, I'm sure I could probably learn to do that even better." And he said, "Well, how do you do it? How do you share your faith? How do you reach out to people?" She said, "Oh, no, I don't." Then he said, "Well, then I prefer the way that I do it than the way that you don't do it." And so we can always learn to share our faith a little bit better and to learn how to do that. I want to have a look at the story in John chapter 4, verses 6 to 42. Now, this is a long, long passage. And so I'm not actually going to read it to you. We're actually going to watch a clip of this passage, and you'll, rather than reading it, I know the children are in with us this morning. So we're going to watch this clip, and this is of John chapter 4, 6 to 42. It's the woman at the well, a story that many of us may be familiar with. And let's just watch this clip together.
"So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. On his way there, he had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw some water.
Give me a drink of water."
His disciples had gone into town to buy food.
"You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?"
"Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use."
"If you only knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. And he would give you a life-giving water."
"Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?"
"Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life."
"Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again. Nor will I have to come here to draw water."
"Go and call your husband and come back."
"I don't have a husband."
"You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth."
"You are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship, because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming, and is already here, when by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is Spirit, and only by the power of his Spirit can people worship him as he really is."
"I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything."
"I am he. I who am talking with you."
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the town.
Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah?
So they left the town and went to Jesus. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered,
"I have food to eat that you know nothing about."
So the disciples started asking among themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?"
"My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me, and to finish the work he gave me to do. You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid and gathers the crops for eternal life. So the one who plants and the one who reaps will be glad together. For the saying is true, someone plants, someone else reaps. I have sent you to reap the harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work."
Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we ourselves have heard him. And we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
John 4:6-42. So that's pretty accurately depicted on what was said in that particular passage of Scripture. I want to look at a few things just from this, and we look at really our own way that we begin to share about the life of Christ that we have, the life that we have in Jesus Christ, and be able to do that confidently. There's some quick things I wanted to just bring out very quickly about what from the way that Christ shared. He was very good at sharing. We know that Christ was an apostle, he was a prophet, he was a teacher, he was an evangelist, he was a pastor, he had all the gifts upon him in his life. It manifested all those things, and certainly he was very good at sharing about God's love and God's heart. So very quickly, some of the things about Jesus when he was with that woman at the well. First of all, that he didn't prejudge that woman at all. For a woman to be coming there at that time of the day, she came deliberately at that time of the day. You don't normally, in the heat of the day. I tell you what, in Sri Lanka, we think the sun is hot here. When it's 35 here, we think it's hot. When it's 35 there, with that humidity and that proximity to the equator with the sun, I mean, that sun, it just burns. It's very, very hot. And the last time that you'd want to be going to a well to be drawn water would be right in the middle of the day. And the women would have done that early in the morning. They would have done that even late at evening, but not in the middle of the day. That lady was there because she wanted to avoid everybody else. She didn't want to be there with the other women to be talking about her because of her previous relationships and the state that she was living in, or the women talking about that in that village. And so she was trying to avoid that. And so that's why she was there at the well at a time when the other women wouldn't be around to be taking water. But Jesus would have seen this woman and thought, "This is strange," but he never prejudged her. We've got to be very careful that when we see people that we don't prejudge them, whether, "Oh, look, that person would be a good Christian, that one be maybe not so much." Or he was open to share his faith with everyone. Well, his faith, he shared himself, but he was open. He didn't prejudge her in any way. He engaged that woman in conversation that was relevant to her. What were they doing? They're at a well, and so he started talking about things that related to that. And that's so important for us. If we really want to reach out to the people that you're praying for, and we're all praying for people in our heart-to-heart lists, and we're praying for them. You're praying for them every day, I trust. You're praying for them in the grow groups. What we've done, we've got a list of people that we know who don't know Jesus, don't know the things of God, and we're praying for them. And but we're not just praying for them. We want to talk to people. We want to let them know. And so engage them in a conversation that's relevant to you and so also to them. And it's amazing how things such as sport is a great opener to things. You know, when I go to soccer training, I go to soccer training a couple of times a week. It's not me, you can tell. I'm not the one training, but dropping Caleb off or picking him up and But just talking to them there, you know, if I put on a Carlton jacket, it's amazing. They all start talking about football, but it's a way of getting in to talk to them. It's amazing. And we talk about soccer, but all these different ways of segueing, leading into talking about the things of God. It's wonderful to do that, to find something that's relevant, something that you can talk to them about. And of course, when Jesus was talking to her, he aroused her curiosity. He talked about living water, and she was saying, oh, what's this? And when you're talking to someone, you know, you're reaching out to someone, say something that arouses their curiosity. You know, look, I had an incredible experience with God this week. What was that? Well, when I went to church, you know, when I was praising, lifting my hands to God, I got really touched by God. What does that mean? What do you mean? And you can say things to people that begin to arouse their interest, and certainly Jesus did that. Jesus used spiritual gifts. He obviously used that word of knowledge that he knew exactly from what she was. And he did that not because he was Christ. He did that using the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know that when Jesus was operating, he operated out of the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit had come upon him, he operated in such a way. He wasn't operating out of his divinity. He was operating out of the power of the Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit that we're able to operate at as believers that are filled with the Spirit of the living God. And so Jesus did that. It's very useful to do that. I remember one time when I was actually leading young adults, and there was these couple of kids that that come along, we just couldn't get through to them, and just with a word of knowledge, I spoke to them about describing exactly what had happened during the week with an accident on a bike, exactly how it happened. The Lord just showed me, and I just said it to them, and bang, both of them instantly gave their hearts to the Lord, because once the Lord opens up something so clearly as that, people won't argue with that. When you see something that you could not possibly have known and share that, and we can all tap into those things of God. And the lady, she tried to distract him. She started talking about, well, you Jews are this and you Samaritans are that. And when people talk to us, they'll throw out all sorts of distractions when you start reaching out to people. But Jesus just brought it back on track, and that's what we also need to do. And finally, Jesus revealed himself. He said, I am he. And obviously, we're having a conversation, a spiritual conversation with someone. We want to do that. We want Christ to be revealed. And there's some good little lessons that we can learn, and you pick those up as you, if you study that yourself and read through that passage, how Jesus actually reached out to this woman. What I really want to focus on, though, is really the woman and her response and what happened after that. Because every one of us that are here that have given our lives to Jesus Christ, someone at some time shared, and remember a couple of weeks ago, shared about the missing link and how there's a chain, if you like, but you don't want to be the missing link in somebody else's life that they may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we all want to flow in that way. But I want to talk about this woman and her response, and maybe a little bit about Jesus when he gave a specific lesson to these disciples as well. The thing about this woman is that this woman had a life. She obviously needed to know Christ. She needed Christ. She obviously had a series of broken relationships and probably felt she was a little bit on the scrap heap of life from all of the brokenness and the relationships that she had. She certainly would have been treated as an outcast. And we know that yes, being a Samaritan woman, that she was certainly in a minority. Being a woman, she would have been not treated so well, and certainly her background, she would have been one that was really found it tough in life. And there's many people that we know that are around us that really find it tough in life because of circumstances. Sometimes for their own wrongful decisions, and obviously she'd made a whole lot of bad choices, but people go through things and they certainly need to know Christ. It says, I just read it again, John 4:28-30. It says, so Jesus has spoken to her, he's revealed Christ, and then the disciples come back and interrupt really what's happening. But Jesus has said, I am he, I am the Christ, and something stirs in her life. It says, then leaving a water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and they made their way toward them. It's amazing when this woman had an encounter with Christ, and that's what's happened to us who know Jesus Christ. When you have an encounter, a personal encounter with Christ, everything changes in your life. And certainly for this woman, her priorities change. She went there, what did she go to the well for? She didn't go there to have a chat. She's trying to avoid everybody as much as she can. She went there to draw water from this well. But it says, first thing that she did was she left her water jar. She left it behind because she was so taken with Christ in her life that her whole life immediately, even from that point, her priorities started to change. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changes people's life. And she left the water jar behind. As Christians, as those who know Christ, challenge for us is to make sure that our priorities stay on track, stay on the things of God, stay on the kingdom of God, and that our priority is now about living for the kingdom. It's about sharing the love of Jesus Christ, and that's certainly what happened to this woman. Her priorities immediately changed when she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when she realized this guy, when Jesus revealed himself to her, and that encounter, personal encounter that she had with Jesus Christ. The first thing that she did is she went and she shared her experience. She shared a testimony. Sometimes when we use the word testimony, some people go, oh, sharing my testimony. Sharing our testimony is easy. It's just a matter of sharing our own personal experience with Christ. Easy. If you went to a football match and had a great match, people get excited and they tell people about it. If something amazing happened to them, they will share it. Or even if something bad, people are very quick to tell their experiences. Some people put them all over Facebook. Some people put ridiculous things all over Facebook. But people share that experience, and that's exactly what was her heart, to share that. When we talk about sharing our testimony, it's just sharing your own personal experience with Jesus. And she went back with such a passion and started telling people. And she told everyone that she knew. And that would have been a big thing for this woman, because she knew that she was a social outcast among these people. She was an outcast. And yet when the Lord touched her life, when Jesus touched her life, she had something that changed within her, that she went and overcame that barrier and went and told everybody that she knows. Have you told everyone that you know about the love of Jesus Christ? Have you told them? Well, one day when we stand before heaven and we know where we're going, but would there be people who would say, man, I knew that person for so long and they never told me. But she told everyone. And she had, if anyone wanted to make an excuse, oh, well, look, these people might reject me. They might not listen to me. She had every reason to feel that way, because they didn't like her. They didn't accept her. She was already a rejected, downcast person. But something changed within her when she found Jesus, when Jesus was revealed to her, that major barrier, she overcame that. But sometimes we use that as an excuse ourselves. We say, oh, you know, they probably won't accept me. And, you know, what if they reject me? If anyone was ever going to be rejected, this woman was going to be rejected. But something about meeting Jesus overcame that barrier. And I trust that God stirs our hearts, that we won't use that excuse. Because if anyone had a good excuse to use, this woman used it, but she didn't do that. Her priority changed. She said, no, I've got to tell these people. We've been waiting for an answer, and I found that answer and wanted everyone to know. And the response that she had was, come and see. Come and see. You know, our theme, the invitation, is to invite people to come and find out for themselves, to come into their own relationships. And so that was her immediate response, was come and see. And so my encouragement to us this morning is that we want to live like that. Don't live in the excuse that, look, people might reject me. It's not an excuse. People going to hell or going to heaven, it's not about how we might feel if we feel rejected. It's not about that. This is a life and death thing. Eternal life and eternal death thing. And so we need to overcome that and to invite them. She said, come and see. And the thing about this woman is that there's something about the way that she presented that. Because this woman, as I said, she's already an outcast socially. And if anyone was going to say, look, if you're not going to listen to someone, she would be the very person that you would not listen to. She was not well respected at all. She lived a shameful life and was living in shame, incredible shame in their community, to be living with a man that you're not married to. Incredibly shameful thing. And so she would have been aware of that. Very much so. And as I said, but she overcame that to speak to people. But if someone was not going to be listened to, this would be the person that you would not listen to. She was a woman, first of all, and she's talking about something of incredible theological significance. See, women didn't talk about matters of theology. One thing is that they weren't educated in it, didn't get the same opportunity for the young people that they would have been, young men that would have been schooled in the things and the ways of God, memorizing scripture and large slabs of portions of particularly the first five books of the Bible. And if they went on, they'd learn most of the Old Testament, the prophets as well. And she wouldn't have had that opportunity. Women didn't know those things. But also for a woman to be talking about something theological was actually like sacrilegious. It was profane for a woman to start talking about something theological. So she had so many barriers to overcome. And as I said, if anyone felt, look, I can't do it, she was the one who probably couldn't be. And if she was to share with people, for people who are going to not respond to someone, she was the person they were going to not respond to. But despite every barrier, when she spoke to these people and said, come and see, there's something about the way that she spoke, something about the way that she presented herself to them, that those major, major barriers were immediately overcome. And something was about the passion within her own heart. Something had changed within her. She'd seen Christ the Messiah. He said, I am the one. And she realized that this has got to be the one. Something changed within her. There was a passion within her heart. And I encourage us that sometimes if you share with your faith with people and you do it almost mechanically and you've memorized something and I'm following this step and then I'm going to do this step and that step and that step. And it's like a mechanical dissertation, some mental thing that you've learnt and you're going through this thing, you're not going to reach people like that. There's something about the reality of what Christ has done in our hearts will overcome all those prejudices that people may have. It's the passion that we have within our life. And for her, came alive, and so she immediately told everyone that she met, all the people that she knew, even those who maybe would have despised her, those that were against her, but they listened to her. They listened to her. Why did they listen to her? It's because there was a passion within her. Christ had touched something deep within her spirit, something deep within our heart. And for some of us, we need to rediscover that again. We need to rediscover that passion, because what happens for many is sometimes we come back to, well, they're going to reject me. They're not going to accept me. There's all these reasons why. And there are reasons why. But if there's the passion of Christ within us, that love of God is so deep within us, the excitement and the exuberance of that was something that broke through that. And they said, come and see. And so people wanted to come and to find out about what was happening. And a response, there was an urgency in it. It was come quickly, come and see. And sometimes we're very casual about sharing our faith because we think, oh, well, at the right time and the right... But she was urgent about it. Come quickly, come and see. And I think some of us, we need to rediscover that sense of urgency again. Look, we know the Lord Jesus is coming back sometime. And no one can tell us when and how long will that will be. But I look at the world and, man, some of the things that are happening in our world and want to be happening in our nation, I just, what is this world coming to? And how long do we think that the world is going to get spiraling down the way that it's going and think, well, it's just going to go on and on forever? There is a time that Jesus is going to come. And it's obviously closer today than it was yesterday, but I think it's actually closer than many of us actually think. Now, whether it's in our lifetime or not, I don't know. But I have a growing sense in my own heart that there's an urgency about the business of the kingdom, that too many other things that maybe distract us or pull us away, but when it comes to people knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, there's an urgency of the hour. We've got to carry within our heart, there's an urgency. This woman who people just would not have listened to, and she would have shunned her, and she would have been even too embarrassed or even to try to speak to them, there was a sense of the urgency of the moment. And for many of us, I think we have to recapture that again, capture the sense of urgency. Look, this is too important. It's too important. You know, everyone's upset about a coach that died in horrific circumstances. And it is. It's tragic. It's a horrible thing that happened. And I only heard a little bit. I haven't caught up with all the news and stuff since I've been back. But, you know, if somebody, anyone to be murdered is tragic. To be murdered, if it's someone in the family, even more tragic. But it just illustrates how life can be snuffed out so quickly. You know, he would have gone through everything that he'd been every day of his life and been at home with his family. The last thing that we would have ever thought was happening, that would have been his last day. It was his last day. And for him, it would have been very urgent. I don't know whether he knew the Lord. I don't know anything really about that man at all. But things happen in life. And yes, for all of us, we will die. And yes, the Lord is coming back. But you don't know what will happen with the people that are in your life. The people that you're related to, the people that you're working with, the people that you study with, people that you're friends with, people that you live with. We don't know what would happen in their lives. We really don't know. So they carry that sense of urgency. Look, this is important because I don't know what will happen to you tomorrow. I don't know what will happen the next day. Things happen in an evil world that is, in my opinion, is beginning to spiral all the more. And things happen. And so I want to know that people that I'm around and around me, that I've done all that I can, that they might receive Jesus Christ. I can't force anybody to give their life to Christ. I wish I could, but I can't do that. But there is an urgency. We've got to have that sense of urgency in our heart. Sometimes it's just we just go one day through another, and another day, another month, another year. And yet we don't carry that sense of urgency in our heart. This woman had a sense of urgency and a conviction in her heart. That's what convinced these people. That this woman who all of a sudden she wasn't afraid to talk to them, even though they would have shunned her in the past. Something had changed. There was a passion in her heart. But that sense of urgency, the urgency, that this is important, guys. I'm not just telling you something nice. This is urgent. This is important. This is an imperative, something of great priority. And that got through. And again, we need to recapture that sense of urgency. You know, who knows what happens to people that we know? And we're praying for them. It's so important that we're praying for them as a church, as I said, and I trust you faithfully doing that. You're praying for those people on your heart-to-heart list. We're praying for them, the ones we want to see in the kingdom of God. It's one thing to pray for them. It's another thing to have a sense of urgency. I need to talk to them. I need to let them know. Because I don't know what's going to happen the next day. And our prayer is we don't want anything to happen to anyone that we know. We love everyone, but things happen in life because we live in a sinful world. And so we want to see people who don't know Christ. We want to see them come into the kingdom of God. And it was so important for this woman that something changed. She wasn't afraid to talk to people. But the amazing thing is that they listened. Why did they listen when maybe they'd never listened to anything else she said? It's because there was a passion in her heart. There was a conviction in her heart. And there was that sense of urgency in her heart. Do you carry that? Do you carry that passion in your heart? Or do you say, I've told them before and nothing seems to happen. They're not interested. Well, did you have that passion? Did you have that urgency in your heart? Because that's what really grabs people's attention. They say, hang on, you're for real about this. You're not a nutcase. I know you. You're not some kind of religious lunatic. You're not a nutcase. You're a person. I know you. I'm in relationship with you. And yet there's something that you're saying is such an urgency, such a passion, and people will listen to that. That's why it's important with people that we know. If you got out in the street and started raving, they're going to think, oh, you're some nutcase lunatic. They're not necessarily going to listen to you at all. But the people that we're in relationship, they know that you don't have two heads. They know you're not crazy. But there's something that you have, that's something that's urgent, and people are open to receive that. And that's what we see with the other people. In John 4:38, it said, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did, because something touched her life, and God had spoken with that word of knowledge that Jesus had spoken to her. But something had changed her, and then immediately people responded, and many people believed on the result of her testimony. Now, if I was Jesus going into a town, and I wanted to reach a whole town of people, and I was going to choose who was the person that I was going to speak to, who was I going to impart to, who was I going to share my life with, that they might share their life with others. Personally, who would have I chosen? Well, if I was to look at a whole town, and I don't know how big the town was, it'd be I don't know, luckily less than a couple of thousand people, however many exactly, I'm not sure, but if I was to choose the person that I was going to use to be instrumental in all of the people in the town to come to Christ, and I was looking at all the people, if I had a list, she'd be somewhere right down the bottom. Because personally, I would have felt, and that's why it's good that I'm not God, because I thought, well, I'm not going to choose someone that everybody despises for a start. I'm not going to choose someone that people aren't going to be responsive to. I'm not going to choose someone that is going to be so scared to talk to anybody that they too afraid to get water when everyone else does, that they do it at a time of the day where you just don't want to be doing that. I wouldn't have chosen her. But Jesus, he chose probably the lowest qualified person, and he used her as his instrument for a whole town to come to know Jesus Christ, to come to know him. And that's the amazing thing. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, well, look, I'm not qualified. I don't know enough things about God. What did this lady know? She just met Jesus then and there. And yet that was enough that she brought people in and people came to know Jesus Christ. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say, look, I can't do it. If I knew more, I would do it. Or if I had a better testimony, you know, if I used to be a drug dealer and used to be in the mafia and all that, and I got saved and had this great testimony, then I'd be able to share my faith. And no, nothing to do with that at all. God is able to use every one of us, whatever our own experience is, whatever our testimony is. Don't think that God's not going to use you. And God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use all of us, because his heart is that no one will perish. His heart is that people will be in the eternal kingdom of God. That's God's heart. That's what he wants. That's God's cry. And that's why he's put it upon us to be the ones that would share that with other people. So never think that you're least qualified. You're unqualified. You are qualified. If you know Jesus Christ, if you come into a relationship with him, you are well qualified, not only to reach all of the people in your family, in your friends, people that you work with, all those around. God could even use you to reach a town, to reach a city, because he did that with this lady that got touched, least qualified person. And so please never let that be a barrier, because for most of us it is. We think, look, I don't really know enough, and what if they say this or that? We just keep bringing it back to Jesus and what Jesus has done, your experience. That's all this lady had. She didn't have any great theology, although she knew an amazing amount, actually. She's talking about what the Jews believe and the Samaritans believed and those things, and she knew a little, but she didn't go there and tell all these people theologically. She just said, I found Jesus. And people looked at her and said, wow, there's something, yeah, something about you, something about what's happened, that you've seen Jesus. And I encourage us to do that. Don't think that you can't do it. You can. And she was not in a good place to do that relationally, but you're probably in a far better place. Maybe there are people in your family that you're not in good relationship, but still, God can use you to reach them. And so the amazing thing is these people followed her invitation. There's a verse in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says this: taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And that's a wonderful invitation. The Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And those words need to be on our lips so people know, look, check it out, guys. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you have Christ in your life and you begin to follow him, your life will begin to take a different course. You'll have meaning in your life. You'll have purpose in your life. You'll know what it is to be loved like never before. Know what it is to be unconditionally loved. To know what acceptance really is. To know what it is to have a future, to have purpose. To see all of the wrong things, all the wrong of your life, all the sin, all of that cancelled out because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that's an amazing thing. What a wonderful invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And maybe if you're here this morning, you haven't given your heart to the Lord, then I invite you, you taste and see, you check it out, find out for yourself. Find out Christ, find him in your life. And you will see that when Jesus is in your life, the incredible difference it makes. Taste and see the Lord is good. And use that word. Not necessarily taste and see, but check it out or whatever. Find out for yourself. Encourage people. Come on, you come and find out for yourself. You come and find Christ. You come and meet Christ for yourself. You come and find that out for yourself. And certainly as she did that, people responded. But I love what in John 4:42. I love the response of what the people said there. It says, we no longer just believe because of what you said. Okay, so it's not just because of your own testimony that's convinced us, because I've looked at your life, I've seen the change in you, that yeah, I want what you have. It's more than that. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And see, that's the point that they came to. They heard this testimony, sounded pretty good, and this woman, but then they came, and then once they experienced Jesus for themselves, it says, it's not what where I am now is not just because of what you said, but I've got it now. I've got it for myself. And that's so important that we all come to that point in faith. It's not because of what someone else does or someone else believes or what someone else says. It's because I personally have come and I've met Christ and I've apprehended all that he's done for me. And that's what these people said. So important that we have our own faith. We can't live off our parents' faith or our spouse's faith or someone else's faith. We need to come into our own personal relationship with God. And I'm just amazed at this woman, the effect that God had through her, to see a whole town come to Jesus Christ. But in the middle of this, incredible encounter, so when Jesus has encountered this woman at this well and he shared with her and reveals himself, I am the Christ, and right in the middle of that, the disciples, his timing is pretty weak really, they come bowling back into this. Now they'd gone off to Macca's and KFC and they'll getting some food and stuff, and they came there almost oblivious. Now they see Jesus talking to a woman, and as I said, look, it's a social taboo to be talking to a woman casually. You don't do that. You don't just talk to some woman. You don't do that. It's not done. You just don't do that. So Jesus is talking to this woman. She's a Samaritan woman. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. And then Jesus is engaging her theologically, which again as itself is quite sacrilegious. You don't talk to religious things or theological things with a woman. And yet Jesus is doing that. The disciples come and they see that. Now, it says that they're sort of wondering, what's all this about? But they didn't ask the woman, and they didn't dare ask Jesus, because they know Jesus. They trust Jesus. If he's doing it, he had a reason why he was talking to this woman. And then he uses this moment. This is in between. So the woman's gone. He's got the disciples there, and he's saying, guys, listen, I want you to get this lesson. Listen to the lesson. He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months to the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now the one who draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. He says to them, open their eyes, because look, when Jesus came to that town, they've been walking, they're hot, you know, I don't know what it's like to be really hot. Now I'm still remembering that. Very hot. And he's dripping with sweat, and he's got dust, and he's tired out. Jesus comes and he sits down at the well. Now Jesus was not any less fit than them. He's probably fitter. You remember, he was a burly carpenter. He was a fit guy. He wasn't some weak little weed. And so Jesus, he's tired out. The disciples, they're going to be pretty wrecked as well. They're tired. But what they want is they want to eat. And so Jesus said, you guys go get some food. And they go there. And they're focused, these guys, on their circumstances. I'm tired and I'm hungry. And I don't like being tired and hungry. A lot of people get cranky when they're tired and hungry, don't they? Like the little Snickers ad, you know, you're not the same when you're hungry. And anyway, so these disciples are running off there, and all they can think about is KFC and McDonald's or Subway, and they're thinking, and there's all these people around in the town, all these people all around them who don't know Christ. They walk with Christ every day, and they're in a town full of people who don't know Jesus. But all they can think about is, I'm hungry and I'm tired. I'm hungry and I'm tired. I'm hungry and I'm tired. And so they're totally oblivious to all these people around them. And so they get back there and they're still, you know, they've had their Maccas or whatever. They bring Jesus back some cold fries but they missed all the people. And Jesus is saying to them, guys, open your eyes. See, sometimes, look, Physically, yeah, we get tired, we get hungry. But we also have things that happen in life. We have problems, we have circumstances, we have stuff in life that, yeah, look, I am going through this. And yes, it is draining and it is emotionally exhausting and I'm hungry and I have a need in my own heart and I have something in my own life. And sometimes we're so fixated on our stomach or our need, our problem, whatever it is, and getting the answer for the answer for the situation we're in, that we become blind and oblivious to everyone around us. And that's exactly what these disciples did. I'm hungry and I'm tired and I forget about everyone else around me. We can do that too, and I'm sure that we do that. We're going through a tough time, then immediately the focus is taken off on people that need the Lord. It's about, oh, I've got this need, I've got this problem. And that makes us blind to everyone else around it. And so Jesus saw that in the disciples who came back, you know, munching away, chicken wing hanging out the mouth and whatever. And he says to them, guys, open your eyes. Don't you just see? Because, you know, they're going to offer him some fries and he says, look, I have food. And they go, oh, somebody's, you know, did you go? No, I didn't. He's saying, guys, look, I'm living for something different. I am sustained by the things of God in my own heart and life. He says, open your eyes. Don't use your own need and your own problems and your own circumstances to make you oblivious to all the people around you. See, Jesus, he was tired and he was hungry, but he didn't allow that to blind his eyes to the needs of people who need to know him and to be in the eternal kingdom. It says, open your eyes, they're ripe for the harvest. It says, guys, people are ready. This woman who would probably be the least ready person because of her circumstances and being shunned and discouraged, she was ripe. In fact, everyone was ripe. They're ripe. He said, don't make excuses about time. That's when he's talking about the 4 months to the harvest. See, what happens if they plant, they work really hard, sow, get the crops in the ground, and then there's 4 months to the harvest. 4 months to relax. And he's saying, don't relax, guys. There's no 4 months business of waiting here. He says, you get on the ball straight away. Don't use timing as an excuse. The time is now. Now is the day of salvation. Don't use that as an excuse. Oh, look, you know, one time I'll get around to it. No. Jesus is saying, don't think like that, guys. He said, now is the time. And then he goes on, he says amazing things. He says, even now the one who reaps draws a wage. Do you know that, and he's saying, guys, you're missing out on something. You're so caught up in your McDonald's and your problems, your circumstances. He says, even now there's a wage that has been drawn. There's something of eternal credit that has been credited to an account. And these guys are missing out. He's saying, guys, even now that there's a wage, there's a blessing, there's a reward that is available. So not only are these people missing out, but you personally are missing out on the wage that has been credited for those who really have a heart for other people who are reaching out. Now, we're not ever reaching out to people because we want, oh, I want to get this wage. No, we reach out simply because we love people. But he's reminding them, saying, guys, there is a blessing to you. Far better than to have your full belly or your problems solved. There's something of eternal value that will be credited to you, a wage that's drawn if you get a hold of these things. And he's trying to teach the disciples about that. And one sows, another's reap, the sense of working together. And then he says about others have done the hard work and talks about, he says, that's the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So he's saying the hard work has been done, and it's true. Jesus has done all the hard work already. He's already paved the way for salvation by the cross. The Holy Spirit is there, ready, active and convicting and working. And he wants us to work together, sowing and reaping, that we become in partnership with the Holy Spirit, that we're working together. And that's God's heart. He wants us to work together with him, but we don't have to do the labor. We think, oh, it's hard. It's not. The hard work has been done. Christ has already done the hard work. We just have to work with him in partnership to see lives changed. And so don't think, oh, it's hard work. This is hard work. He says, no, it's not hard work. He says, others have done the hard work, and he has. He's prepared the way for us. Hard work is done. The work now of sharing and loving and reaching out to people, we have to do. It's not hard work. He said, I've done the hard work. You don't have to try to force them or push them or whatever. I've already done the hard work. And so there's that encouragement. So this is great little lesson that he gives to the disciples right in the middle of this encounter. Open your eyes, guys. Don't be so caught up with the problems and the need and the pressing circumstances. They were really tired. And they were tired. They were really hungry. Yes, they were really hungry. And some of us are going through difficult and tough circumstances in our life. But that's not ever an excuse for us to put the blinkers on and think, well, I can't reach out to people. And Jesus demonstrated. He was just as tired as they were, just as hungry as they were. But he was ready and looking for people that he could share life with. And I trust that God will stir our heart that we be like that. Don't use the excuse that I don't know enough. Doesn't matter that they won't accept me. No excuse. He's modeled that and shown that for us. He chose the least likely person to be so instrumental in a whole town of people. We can't use that excuse. Oh, I'm going through a hard time. I've lots of problems and I have pressing needs in my life. And his response to the disciples is, open your eyes, guys. Open your eyes. There's something far more important. This is eternal matters. And have an open eye and an open heart. And I pray that we do that as his people. Let's stand. I want to pray for us this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come before you. Father, I just thank you, first of all, Lord, for every one of us here, Lord, that have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And Father, I know that your heart is for people to come to know Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this day, Lord, has never actually stood and said, yeah, I want to receive Jesus in my life. I want the cross to count for me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you stir their heart right now, that when we call people for prayer, Lord, that they'll have the courage, Lord, to come and say, yeah, I want that. I want Jesus in my life. And Father, for those who do know you, Father, I just pray, Lord, for each of us, Lord, that we won't have the blinkers on, Lord, that we'll have open eyes, Lord. And Father, that the things that you can use us, or we look at ourselves and feel so insignificant, but Father, you overcome that, Lord, and Lord, because there's a passion for you, Lord, as we share, Lord, and have an urgency, people do listen. Father, they will listen. You've already done the hard work, Father. Let us work with you. One sow, one reaps. We work in partnership with you, Lord, because there's many, many people that we know. Many people around us, a whole community, a whole society, all these people that don't know Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, you want us to say to them, come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so, Father, I pray that you stir these things in our heart, Lord. Lord, it'll not only just convict us, Lord, but, Lord, there'll be a change of our behavior, Lord, that our eyes will be open. Lord, that we will speak, Lord, we won't make excuses. But, Father, that we will be about your business, Lord, to see people coming to know your love. And knowing your grace, Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Stir our hearts, Father. Lord, let us not be oblivious to those around us, Father. Open our eyes, Lord, I pray. Lord, for those that are struggling, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you do satisfy us. Lord, that you do meet our need. But, Father, I pray that never let our own need be greater than the need to see others come to know you. Lord, because we've already got it. We've got you, Lord. Lord, stir our hearts, Father. Stir our hearts, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. We're going to take some time just to worship together.